Hello, and welcome to the MoneyWise podcast. Each episode, we'll get to the bottom of key personal finance issues affecting your money. I'm Brianne Horn, and today I'm joined by Sam Barker, Deputy Editor of MoneyWise. Hey, Sam.
Hello, Brianne. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks. How's it going on your side?
Excellent. Not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. So, Brianne, one thing which I think is important to stay on top of is scams during the coronavirus outbreak. Obviously, some fraudsters, very sadly, have been taking advantage of the situation, try and rip people off with coronavirus-specific scams. And the latest one has to do with PPE equipment. Is that right?
Sadly, that is the case. Criminals have been trying to capitalise on the growing pandemic. And unfortunately, they're now targeting PPE, which is personal protective equipment. So these are things like masks and other little bits that can help protect you from the coronavirus when you're out and about. According to some new research by comparethemarket.com, over a third of people have been targeted by scams during the lockdown, and they have noticed that there's been an increase in PPE specific scams. So scammers are sort of hitting people from all different avenues. They're coming through by email with phishing scams. Some are sending text messages, which is something called smishing. And they're also pretending to be from credible government bodies and, you know, banks as well. So people, you know, as well as staying alert to potentially contracting the coronavirus, you actually have to stay alert from scammers who might be trying to steal your money at this point as well.
Okay, well, that's sorry to hear, but it's a good thing that, you know, we can raise awareness of that a little bit maybe. So what sort of thing can you do to protect yourself from these PPE scams?
Thankfully, there are quite a few things that you can do to make sure that you don't fall victim to one of these scams. So the first thing is to be vigilant. Essentially, if you get a call or email or text message out of the blue from somebody asking for personal details or your banking details or anything like that, do not respond, because most likely this is not going to be from the person that you think it is. It is likely to be a criminal trying to get your personal details. The next thing is to think before you buy. If you see a random link, if you're looking for masks online, for example, and you see like some Google ads pop up at the top, don't just buy from any random vendor. Do a bit of research and make sure that it's a credible source. You can do this by simply having a quick search online, having a background check of the company, and even asking around, see if any of your friends or family have bought from the vendor as well. Another really important thing to do is to protect your devices. Now, I am quite guilty of ignoring when my phone says, oh, you've got like a software update. Sometimes I do leave it sitting there for a while because it can take a bit of time to update.
But it's annoying. Exactly. It's very annoying.
But it's really important to make sure all of your devices are kept up to date. These software updates make sure that your phone is protected against any new threats that are coming through, so it keeps the criminals away. And finally, be sure to report any suspicious communications or ads that you see to a company called Action Fraud. So if you go to actionfraud.police.uk, you'll be able to enter an online form and report anything that you see that is suspicious. If you think you've fallen victim to a scam, it's really important to get in touch with them as soon as possible, and they will help investigate the scam and try to recover your money as well.
So that's really good advice, Brianne, and hopefully we can give some advice on this next piece of news too, which is that the UK economy could be heading for the worst recession on record due to the coronavirus pandemic. And this is coming from the Bank of England this week, which forecasts that the UK economy could shrink by 14% this year alone if lockdown measures are phased out from June.
That is a significant figure. I mean, what does that mean for savers and borrowers right now?
So sadly, savers, as you will know, already face a tough time with a low interest rate environment because their banks have been quick to pass on the cuts to base rate made by the Bank of England earlier this year. So one prime example of that this week has been Marcus, the popular easy access account, which at one point paid 1.5%. It was the best easy access account on the market by a long shot, and it forced the rest of the banks to play catch up with their savings rates. So Marcus has already, you know, it's always been seen as a bit of a bellwether for savings rates generally since that point. Sadly, that has been cut now down to 1.05% per year. I think the main points for savers are that it is important to save even if rates are very low, because it is important to have a fund of cash which you can rely on should things go wrong. So common advice is that this should be from 3 to 6 months of your income. The best easy access account on the market now pays 1.16%, and there are fixed rate bonds as well on the market which will offer a higher return provided you're happy with locking your money away for a slightly longer period. So I think there is always a value in saving, even if you have to grin and bear it slightly with current low rates. Now, the flip side of the coin is that low interest rates from the Bank of England are normally good news for borrowers because they make the cost of taking out a loan cheaper. So today we saw that the average mortgage rate has fallen to its lowest ever figure, which is great news for mortgage holders. The only slight finding with that is that if you're a first-time buyer, your choices are quite restricted. A lot of mortgage lenders have been pulling their deals for first-time buyers through panic at coronavirus. So on paper, it's good news for you. In practice, it might be quite difficult to take advantage of that, but there is at least some hope. So Brianne, that's savers and borrowers, but what about investors? You know, what would a coming recession mean for them and what should they look to do about it? Is there anything they can do?
The most important takeaway for investors right now is that it's about ensuring that your portfolio is diversified and able to weather the storm that's happening right now. Markets fluctuate all the time and we've seen big crashes in the past. So most recently, 2008, the global financial crash sent shockwaves throughout markets across the world. It didn't necessarily mean that investors had to panic, but they did have to ensure that their portfolios were diversified and spread across different geographies and industries, and just ensuring that their investments were protected. So it's a similar story for investors right now. It's time to act, but it's not necessarily time to pull your investments. And experts advise that picking defensive stocks for your portfolio could actually help weather any oncoming downturns. So right now is really an opportunity for investors to look at their portfolios and make sure that they're diversified and have the ability to weather this downturn, because there are opportunities out there. It's just about being proactive and not just reacting to shock market crashes. Having a bit of a strategy can really help right now. And slightly lighter news, with the government starting to ease lockdown measures at the moment, the housing market seems to be back in business. So what does this mean for people who might be looking to move, rent, view properties? What's going on?
That's right, Brianne. So the big housing news at the moment is that you can once again buy and sell properties with no restrictions other than social distancing, at least on paper. So what I'm going to do is lay out the do's and don'ts and what that means for buyers and sellers. The context is that during the coronavirus lockdown, the housing market pretty much ground to a halt, to a point where companies that published details of house price sales, a lot of them just stopped doing it. Government advice was to only proceed with sales if absolutely necessary. Social distancing rules meant surveyors and potential buyers couldn't visit properties even if they wanted to. And all of that meant that house buyers and sellers were taking a bit of a wait and see approach. That has all changed as the government has begun to relax these restrictions. So what does this actually mean for someone interested in buying or selling a house? So from this week, house buyers will be able to move so long as they observe social distancing rules. And that applies to viewing properties, visiting estate agents and letting agents, and moving home in terms of, you know, contact with removal staff and things like this.
How would that look if somebody wanted to view a property? How would they be able to observe the social distancing measures while looking around the house?
Well, I mean, I guess it's going to be quite difficult and probably quite awkward, because there are going to be some rooms where traditionally you would go around the house maybe with the estate agent, or you'd go around the house maybe even with the original owner there, and you might ask them questions. Obviously that's going to be much more difficult now. I guess you've either got to go around the house kind of just yourself and ensure that the other person is at least 2 meters away from you, or some people are moving to kind of webcam based viewings. But I mean, I personally, if I was buying a house, would not be very happy with that. I would want to see it.
I'd want to look behind all the mirrors, check under the rugs.
Exactly. So I think, you know, I've seen a few initiatives from estate agents even before this announcement who were trying to move in that direction, but it always seemed like a bit of a sticking plaster approach to me. But now it's possible to go to estate agents at least because their offices were shut from the beginning of lockdown. They're now open, or at least they can be open if they want to. Likewise, conveyancers and surveyors and removal firms can all go back to work, but we'll have to practice social distancing. So the kind of the main point here is that it is possible to move, but there are going to be some strings attached.
This all does sound really promising, but are people really going to get out and start viewing houses again? Is this going to be the rebound of the property market?
I mean, that is the major elephant in the room. We have the opportunity to view properties the way we always have now, but are we going to want to? So mortgage brokers tell me that they are seeing pent-up demand from house buyers, but will that be back to normal levels? Probably not, no. I think people are largely still very cautious about coronavirus and will be unlikely to want to go traipsing around a stranger's house. So that's demand, but what about house prices, which is the other big point here? So house prices were already falling before the coronavirus pandemic, although that did depend where in the country you were. So for example, in London, those drops were quite significant. In other parts of the country, house prices were actually going up. But then coronavirus happened. So the Bank of England last week said that house prices could fall 14% this year. On top of that is this variable, which is this human factor, because many people want to sit out the coronavirus situation a bit longer. I would expect to see wannabe buyers use that as leverage to get even better discounts when buying a house, or at least they will try to. Overall, I would expect to see house prices fall. My worry would then be that mortgage lenders might stop lending to first-time buyers, as they have done in similar positions in the past. There's always been this sad irony in the fact that first-time buyers are the group with the most to gain from house prices falling, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, but when this happens, are always the first casualties when it comes to actually getting a mortgage and being able to take advantage of those low prices. But hopefully it won't come to that, and the housing market will recover in a measured way.
Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on it and see how this progresses.
And it will be a good subject for future podcasts.
Definitely. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the MoneyWise podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please leave us a rating and follow us on whichever platform you're listening on. If you have any personal finance related questions, email them in to editor@moneywise.co.uk. You can also drop us a message on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @moneywiseonline.